Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible, if you could turn to Romans 8. It's where we will be reading out of today. I don't know that I could say I have a favorite book or chapter in the Bible, but if I did, it would probably be Romans 8. I think you could stand to read that every day, and It is a liberating, a comforting, and encouraging passage. I hope we experience some of that today. So for the past 3 weeks, this is our fourth week talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, we haven't covered it all. Just want you to know, we haven't said everything there is to be said about the Holy Spirit. There's quite a bit more. But what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us. So here's what we've done over the past few weeks. We started out by talking about, and it's important to kind of understand this context. We started out talking about who the Holy Spirit is, that it's a he, not an it. It's a person. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and that's not like bronze medal person of the Trinity. That's just the revealed to us part of the Trinity, right? It's not a ranking. Who the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is another like him. He's another helper. So like him, but different. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. That the lies that we seem to be fond of telling ourselves, that he speaks the truth to us continuously against those lies. Talked about the Holy Spirit as the giver of gifts. And if you remember, we didn't even really talk about gifts. We talked about how important it is to know the giver of gifts. We talked about how, you know, Paul talks about, before he launches into talking about all kinds of different gifts, he talks about, do you know the nature and the character of the giver of the gifts? Because if you don't, the gifts become so skewed. We talked about the work that the Holy Spirit allows us to do, that the gifts that he gives us for our enjoyment of him and for the building of his church. We talked about just the work of the Holy Spirit, his encouraging work, his convicting work, his changing work, his saving work. So we've talked a lot about, we've put a lot of content, a lot of information in the past 3 weeks. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about here in a second, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to move into a time of worship and prayer that's going to it's going to end our time this morning and end our time here very, very purposefully and hopefully very naturally. So if you have your Bibles, Romans 8, the next step, how the Holy Spirit helps us. You may have been a Christian for decades. You may right now just be on the very fringes of faith, something that's just now even becoming plausible to you. Either way, if it's been a lifelong of following Christ or something you're investigating, either way, something that we all have to understand is that we talk about this a lot. It is finished. Christ's final words on the cross, it is finished. But we're not. Okay? Our salvation is secure if we trust in Jesus. Our Christ-likeness, we're not quite there yet. Some of us a little more than others, but we won't dwell on that. We're not quite there. And I think it's so important to understand that it is finished, but we are not. Because in one way, shape, or form, we're very creative. We all have our different way of saying this, of playing this out, of doing this. In one way or another, we've convinced ourselves that, okay, Jesus saves. We've seen the t-shirts, but then, you know, we work. He's the third leg in the relay of redemptive history, but, you know, we need to anchor it out and finish the race, right? You know, we can even cite Bible verses to say that that's true. There's always a temptation to turn Jesus' cross into our ladder. Right? There's always a temptation to turn Jesus' cross into our ladder if we don't realize how the Holy Spirit helps us and what he offers us, how he has for, then we will do that. So let's look at Romans 8, 26 and 27. 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And to 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, that's not a really popular trait. I think we would all agree. That's not a really enviable, praise the Lord, I'm so weak. And we don't really get into that. It's not, I don't think it's anything, something that any of us really seek, is weakness or meekness. And even when we do recognize where we can be weak, even when we do recognize some of our faults, some of our, it's safer to categorize those as temporary. It's safer to categorize our weaknesses as periodic and not understand. No, it is our character that we are weak. But it's not safe to look at it that way, for us to think of it that way. And in many ways, we've spent most, if not all, of our lives trying to search for our significance, trying to prove our significance in what we can accomplish, not what he has accomplished. What do you go to work every day, when you wake up, Where do you look for to tell you that you matter? Where do you look? What do you count on to tell you that you matter? I think this is obvious when we watch children. At least my children, very headstrong and helpless, right? Headstrong and helpless. They can do it themselves. They can, no, you can't. You can't do it yourself. And it's obvious to watch a child try to do something that they can't do. But it's not as obvious. The helplessness that you and I have, it's not as obvious. Here's why. I think this is important. In some way, we have the ability to provide for ourselves. I mean, you're not completely helpless. In some way, shape, or form, some better than others, you have a way to provide for yourself. You have a way to help yourself. You have a way that you can get by. And what that turns into is we tend to tell ourselves that since we can provide for some things, that we can kind of manage out the provider. Since we kind of get used to, well, I can do that. Another way to say it is, since we can imperfectly mimic the provision of the Holy Spirit, then we can convince ourselves that we don't need that provision. Since we can kind of copy a version of it in our minds, we convince ourselves that we don't need it. And here's how it can play out. Since I can find happiness to some extent, since I can provide for myself to some extent, since I can feel some sort of success in some areas, since I can maybe find some significance in some areas, I become really important. The things that I do become really important, but what happens when our plans go wrong? What happens when tragedy strikes? What happens when our expectations aren't met? What happens when our friends fail? Whose sovereignty is challenged in those times? It's ours, not God's. When our world begins to unravel, and everyone's does at some point in some way, when our world begins to unravel, we either reset our hearts by his grace to seek him, or we're embittered that we're not him. That's why we will leave church. That's why we will turn our backs on friends. That's why we will, because we're too important. When we face our weaknesses, like the Bible tells us, when we face it can be a very fearful thing. That's why we run from it. That's why just some of this conversation may be uncomfortable. Let's look at Romans 8, 15 and 16. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." When we are weak, and we are indeed weak, do we find hope in that? Do we find grace in that? I usually don't. I usually don't see my shortcomings and my failures as areas for hope. But we're told that in our weakness, God has promised freedom. We're told that he's promised freedom, and Jesus has secured the freedom. We're told that in our weakness, there's hope, because the Spirit reminds us that we're not slaves, we're sons and daughters. Now, when we don't live in our weakness and realize that we're sons and daughters, then we are still slaves. There's hope, because when we cry out to God in our weakness, look at 15 again. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." Because we are his, he gives us the voice to cry out. Do you see there's hope in helplessness? Because he gives us the voice to cry out. So let's look at just a really top-of-mind example here. Over a year ago, we knew that wise planning would be find some place to move. Our church needs to go somewhere else. Now, 13, 14 months ago, we did not know how, where, when, or even if this was going to happen. Did not know. Now, not for a lack of looking. If there were any stones left unturned, there were very few. And honestly, a lot of us really didn't even know how to pray in those times. We really didn't even know what to ask for. I know my prayer specifically became pretty short. Especially on this topic, it was more of, "You know, I don't. Please help. I don't really. I don't really know what to do. I don't want to." You know, preaching under a tent doesn't sound like the best idea to me in the world. Gotta wear those hats. apologies. But our prayers, I know from what many of you told me from my own experiences, our prayers were relentless. And listen, we didn't bully God into, you better find a place for us. That's not how that worked. Because honestly, our options evaporated. And you know what? That was a measure of grace. Because in our continued prayer, in our relentlessness, we were so attentive, not to a place, but to a person. Do you see how that hopelessness, that in our finite vision, how that hopelessness was very helpful? How we didn't know, we don't know what's next. And that's okay. Deep down inside, that where I'm not talking about, it wasn't okay. But we kept seeking God's face. And as God's plan began to unfold, we didn't become any less helpless. But as God's plan began to unfold, just the humble grace that he began to show us. The doors that opened, the doors that closed. Sometimes the way that God works, what he chooses to do, it's very mysterious to us. And that's okay. But I think more oftentimes than not, he doesn't want us to settle for mystery, but pursue him where he's working. So, again, as Peter said, we can be partakers of his divine nature. Just that small experience of searching for just a place to meet is such a vivid picture of the importance in our abiding in him. Not in a place, but in a person, in the reality of how he helps us, so that we may participate in what he's doing. We're no greater because we have a different place. We're grateful for who he is. So here's how that participation works. When he calls us to participate with him, let's look at 8:27 again. It says this, "And he is God, he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints," that's us, "according to the will of God." God is telling us that he works in our hearts not to relieve our curiosities, but to create worship. He doesn't work in our hearts so that we can have peace in our simple answers, but we can worship him because he is the answer. God is telling us that the Holy Spirit helps us. God is telling us that the Holy Spirit can guide us because the Father knows us. 27 kind of sounds like he's praying to himself, because in a way he is. Get this. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us because the Father knows us on the basis of what the Son has done for us. The Holy Spirit helps us, is helping us right now. The Holy Spirit helps us because the Father knows us on the basis of what the Son has done for us. In the first week, I said, if there's no Trinity, there is no gospel. The Holy Spirit helps us because the Father knows us on the basis of what the Son has done for us. If you come away with one thing, I would hope and pray that that would be a renewed or a discovered joy in who the Trinitarian God is and how his very character and nature provides for our salvation. He's not just three in one because it's fun for him. Right? So when we're afraid, when we experience times of doubt, when we experience times we don't know what to pray, when we experience those times where our faith doesn't feel like it's moved in months, if not years, when we're in those seasons of life that seem cold, rest your heart in knowing that the very nature of God, the Holy Spirit, is helping us, and that he desires to help us. And he wants us, our hearts, to rest in the knowledge that he is. Now here's how, before we transition our time of prayer, here's how that can sometimes happen. Let's say you're in school and it's finals week. Or you have a project due at work, or there's some challenge, there's some acute challenge before you. And our thought pattern is this: if I can get past this, if I can pass this test, if I can do well on this project, if I can get past this season, then what? Smooth sailing. No, finals are going to come again next semester. Oh, but I'm going to graduate. Oh, well then college degree, the world is solved. No. That's the salve we put on our souls that so quickly wears off. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm your help. I'm who you should look to run to. So that's exactly what we're going to do right now. What we're going to do right now is we're going to have a time, probably about, 10 minutes. Don't hold me to it. We're going to refocus on some things in Scripture. We're going to hear music. We're going to worship. And we're going to pray. So here's what I want you to do. Empty your hands, your laps, whatever is vying for your attention right now. We're going to just take a very specific set aside time to stop our minds, to stop our hearts, to praise God for our dependence on him, for our need for him. And we're going to worship for our dependence. Isn't that odd? We're going to worship our need for him, our dependence of him. On the screens, there will be verses and prompts, things to pray for. You may be in a time right now that you can feel God the Holy Spirit calling you. This would be an easy transition. It's calling you into a time of prayer. You may feel as distant as can be right now. And I wanted to let you know that either is okay. Either is okay. If all you can pray are the bullet points on the screen, pray that. Let God lead your heart. Let God lead your mind. So as Luke begins to play, let's look at Romans 8:5 up on the screen. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes right now. Let's just take some time right now to set your mind away from what you have to do after this. set your mind away from the nagging duties of the day, of the week. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Intercede for us. Continue to pray that God would form each and every one of our hearts to pursue Him, to love Him, to desire Him more than anything else.
God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green.
Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Let's continue to pray that the Spirit will help us to see this, the slavery of our sin. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Help us to see the freedom that is found nowhere else, in no one else. Pray that that knowledge of the gospel in our hearts would be visible to others. Just continue to pray that God would do these things in your heart.
Shepherd's staff comforts me through all my fears, in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, in the house of God forever.
We're going to spend a little bit extra time on this last regardless of where we meet, let's pray that we are the same people, that God will make us a people that are eager to know Him, eager to know Him and make Him known. Let's pray that that's why we exist as a church. Pray that we would have wisdom, that we would have joy and peace. Pray that our focus would be on pointing people to Christ, not on what we think that we can do, what we think we can accomplish. Pray that we will have love. Let's bow our head and close our eyes again. The music's going to continue to pray. Join the Spirit in interceding, begging God that this would be true of us. That we would find the joy in knowing him and making him known to ourselves, to our neighbors, to the nations. Pray that God would change our own hearts. Form our hearts to be more like his, to desire him more than other things. By God's grace, there could be such a beauty in participating in the divine and being stripped down of who we think we are and clothed with who he is. And I think it's in that time we can really begin to sense, you know, the victory that we have in our weakness. And it's not of us, but of him. So maybe you keep your eyes closed. Maybe let's join us in standing. Stand where you are. And let us go forward as a church, as a people, as individuals, on the freedom that we've been promised. Because of the help of the Spirit, because God the Father knows us and loves us on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. Sing out strong, joyfully, and worshipfully these next few words.